The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that anyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that their works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. My little message today is a little bit challenging. So I have my permission, your permission to challenge a little bit. But I hope I don't challenge so much as to discourage, because God so loved the world that he gave his Son to save us, and it's good news. Hopefully I am that way, but sometimes I get carried away and forget where I'm going. But, you know, Matthew Kelly. How many people know the author Matthew Kelly, dynamic character, written lots of books? I am a fan in general, but he had a book a while back that I don't agree with. Now, he's far more popular and famous than I, so he's probably right. But the book is called The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. And it's a title that catches your eye, doesn't it? And his preface or premise is that the biggest lie in the history of Christianity is that we can't be holy. The world tells us that we're sinners and that we're imperfect and that we are simply God created us and never meant for us to be saints or to be holy except in heaven. And so he's trying to counter that, and I got to admit, I haven't read the whole book because I didn't like it. Because I say, and this is the challenge, the biggest lie in the history of Christianity you have in today's gospel. The most famous passage, right, in every football game, John 3:16. And it is a beautiful passage, and it is appropriate to be promoted, but I do think there's part of it that we misinterpret. God so loved the world, right? That's the good part. And this next part is true, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And so, I hear it so often said amongst my friends, at one point even my family, even though they've changed, but in the world, many people, "Oh, Father, I believe in God. I'm going to heaven." But John, by that word, "if you believe you have eternal life," doesn't simply mean what we modern people think belief in God means, right? We moderns think, "Oh, if I believe the concept that Jesus is God, then I'm saved." I hear a different version. And again, this is the challenging part, because I know that this is hard. I'm a good person. I'll go to heaven. I don't need to practice my faith or go to church. Because how could a loving God condemn to hell a good person? Very good logic. But today's gospel also says that God does not condemn people. The world was dead due to our sin, right? God created us in the Garden of Eden and walked with us closely, but we disobeyed that God. We separated ourselves from God. It's all sin, original sin, passed down, ignorance, blindness. And without God, who is the source of life, we die. And so God so loved the world, he didn't want us to be condemned. But he comes into our world to save us. But that salvation is more than simply what we often think of as modern people to believe. John's gospel uses the word over 100 times. The word in the Greek could be translated just as easily faith, and that might be a better translation. But even for John, the idea of believing in a person or in the name of a person, they didn't think of the concept that he truly exists. But to believe in somebody meant to follow their teachings, to live for what they lived for. And throughout John's gospel, you'll hear the term about belief in God, and it has more meanings than just understanding a concept. The man born blind, for example, once he believes that Jesus is the Messiah, he worships him as Lord and God. Thomas, doubting Thomas, at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, "Blessed are you because you believe and have seen. Blessed are those who don't see and believe." But Thomas worshiped Jesus when he saw the risen Jesus and put his hand in his wounds and said, "My Lord and my God." Elsewhere, Jesus says that if you believe me, you will keep my words. Listen to me, my commands. Elsewhere in this gospel, what are some of the commands of Jesus? That you should be baptized, right? Unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you do not have eternal life. That you must receive the Eucharist. Unless you receive and eat the body of Christ, drink his blood, you do not have life within you. To be my disciple is really what God is calling us to be. And this is a difficult challenge. The analogy that many people use, many preachers, is imagine our lives like we're on a boat and there's a person overboard. And the sea where we're drowning is the world in which we're born with original sin, blindness, separation from God. And God throws us a life preserver, you know, one of those round floating donuts with a rope attached to it. And that life preserver is there for anyone to grab onto, right? But simply believing that life preserver is there isn't going to save you. Have to grab on. And then you are pulled into the boat. And so salvation is leaving one way of life, one existence, one environment, and joining and becoming part of a different environment, a very different environment. We go from the sea, which is death, the world, sin, and the many influences that keep us separated from God, and we're pulled into the boat. The boat is the church, where you live a very different life with Christ as the pilot. And so God so loved the world that he saved us through his only begotten Son, but we need to grab on to that Savior, that life preserver. And it needs to transform our life. And then Matthew Kelly's premise is correct. Holiness is what God calls us to. Continue to be a disciple of Jesus, to follow him, to let him be the pilot of our boat, and our boat is in the church. The concept really is of being a disciple of Jesus. in our process of parish evangelization, right? We talk about evangelization, helping people have an encounter with Christ, but ultimately the call is to make disciples of Jesus. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them what I've commanded you. And so, as part of our pastoral plan on our website, and we'll continue to promote it, we have a list of what are the characteristics of a disciple of Jesus, and even a missionary disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus, here's some of the things on this list, and it's challenging, and no one may check off every box, but a disciple of Jesus is someone who seeks to do God's will in all things. All things, right? Who are your friends? How do you spend your free time? What do you do with your profession? How do you raise your family? How do you treat your neighbors? All things. And in order to know God's will, you must be a person of prayer and discernment. And so that's listening prayer. And it means knowing more and more who the person of Jesus is and how he wants us to live. Because if he's God and human, he is also the example of the perfect human. And we need to know the teachings of the church, which help us to understand Jesus' teachings were. We need to receive the sacraments regularly, because they are the source of that eternal life, and doing what Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Eat my flesh, drink my blood, be baptized. And here's the really hard part for us Catholics. If we're truly putting God first in our life, we're giving our time, our talent, and our treasure to the church and to help others find Christ and to the poor and the outcast. And here's even a more challenging one. We're sharing with others who Jesus is and inviting them into the boat. These are high standards for us to live by. Most of us take most of our life and still never complete these things. But God wants to draw us into that boat. It's because not he wants to condemn us. We've condemned ourselves. He wants to save us. And he's bringing us and showing us the way of salvation. And so, some people say, and I've heard this too, might be another one of the partial truths or a lie or something that is misinterpreted. The purpose of this life is to get to heaven. Yes, that's partially true. But if our only purpose of life is to get to heaven, we're wasting a lot of the great gift God has given us. John's gospel is very much about that eternal life begins now. And if God is calling us into the boat, all we need to do is grab onto that life preserver, and God's going to pull us along to help us to become this better person. But it's because God so loved the world, and he wants us to know his love for us. And that is what transforms our heart. And so to live already in the salvation that is eternal brings such great joy and peace into our lives now. Gives us something to live for, fills us with passion and a treasure in our heart that makes us a better person and that nothing in this world can take away. That's what God wants to offer us. He saved us not only to bring us to heaven, but to make us his children, his sons and daughters, children of the king with the inheritance of the family. Love, joy, peace, the fruits of the Holy Spirit that live and last not only now, but for eternity.